Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The Killer Bees! ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
With the second pick, the Houston Texans select.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George, assistant to the regional manager behind the glass, and it is here. At last, it is draft day in the city of Houston. The Houston Texans holding picks 2 and 12. We're going to be partying live at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. The Will House is in Kansas City. It is finally here. Hope to see you tonight out at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Southwest Freeway, which, by the way, you can win a 75-inch TV. If you haven't heard now, well, now you know. Merry Draftmas, Blankers.
Yes.
Finally, it is here. For all that celebrate, Merry Draftmas to you as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is the day we've all been waiting for. The mock drafts can finally be put to bed. Everybody's fears and or anticipation can be fully lived out because it's going to happen one way or another. I've got a kind of a feeling that more people are going to be disappointed than pleased with whatever happens tonight because that
you
just kind of is the way the Texans fan base leans these days.
Why? But why do you think they'll be disappointed?
First of all,
like what's going to happen?
Texans are going to Texan.
I have a couple scenarios where I'll be disappointed.
Well, see, there you go. I think that Texans are going to Texan has become a way of life for Texans fans, and that's not a good thing, and it's not used in positive ways, and we've seen and given you tons of examples of how that happens over and over again. But I think part of it is because this draft, the luster wore off kind of quickly. I mean, everybody thought this was a pretty good draft. It was a pretty loaded draft. It was a quarterback-heavy draft for a team that sorely needs quarterback that a year ago in the same position had really no one to choose from that was in anywhere enticing to them. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, you know, in the final week before the draft, everything kind of pulled a 180. And suddenly here we are again going, God, doesn't it suck to be the Texans? They have their worst seasons when guys, the real ideal players aren't available.
There's still some scenarios that exist, though, where I'd be really happy with. There's quite a few.
Do they involve trades or just picks?
There's some of the trades that are out there that worry me. There's some that concern me, to be completely honest with you. I'm curious, too, like, would you rather see a trade down or a trade up? Like, would you rather trade down from 2? You get to pick 1. Trade down from 2 or trade up from 12? Like, that's something that you have to consider. But, like, I'm of the idea that there's certain players that I like. Like, if it's Will Anderson, I'm cool with that. Like, we've been beating the BPA drum for a long time, and a lot of people kind of get that twisted because I've also included Will Levis in my top tier of quarterback prospects. People think that I'm Will Levis or bust. I'm not. I'd be completely happy with Will Anderson. I would be happy if the Houston Texans completely shocked the world and go Will Levis, although they wouldn't be shocking Vegas too much. Like, we're entering draft night tonight. 7 o'clock start. Live in ESPN NFL Draft Show on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, live at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Greenway Plaza. And we have no idea what the Houston Texans are doing. We monitor the Vegas trends. The Vegas trends right now are actually pointing to Will Anderson. Will Anderson's now the pretty considerate favorite to be the number 2 pick of the NFL draft. Doesn't mean the Texans are picking there, but I doubt anybody's trading up for Will Anderson. But that is also to protect Vegas from losing their butts when people are placing these Will Anderson bets. Nick Caserio is a wild card on draft night. Like, he has proven that really in both drafts. Even his first draft, when he didn't have a first or a second round pick, the very first pick he ever made was Davis Mills, a wild card. There were thoughts he wanted Kellen Mond, would have been a wild card. Last year at number 3, they drafted Derek Stingley Jr. when Sauce Gardner was the betting favorite, a bit of a wild card. No one really saw that coming. No one saw him trading down for Kenyon Green. And of course, we know that he's a Will and Dylan son of a gun. Woo. We know that about Nick Caserio. So would it completely stun me if the Houston Texans take Will Levis today? Frankly, it wouldn't for me, because I still kind of think in the back of my mind, even though I know these betting odds and I know I've seen all these mock drafts, like John McClain yesterday was telling everybody that he thought Will Levis was going to be the pick at number two, and then he released his mock draft last night and it was Tyree Wilson. What? Like, you've been telling people all day that it's Will Levis at two. Now you're mocking Tyree Wilson. What are you doing? But I still believe this. Like, part of me believes this. I'm not, like, 100% convinced, because I have paid attention to the Vegas line and things like that, Blankers. Look, I still think the Houston Texans think Will Levis is the number two quarterback on their board. I still think that the Houston Texans are going to be married to the idea of selecting a quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft, one of the top four prospects. I still think that the Houston Texans are going to be spooked that if they trade down from four, or they're fearful that they can't trade up from 12, that they will not land one of these top four quarterbacks. I will not be surprised if it's still Will Levis at two. I will not be surprised if it's Will Anderson at two. If it's not one of those two guys, then I'm probably disappointed.
Are you surprised if it's C.J. Stroud? That's what I was going to ask.
I would be stunned if it's C.J. Stroud at two.
It's crazy how the narrative has changed on Stroud, who was, for 6 months, either the one or two prospect quarterback in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was, what, the S2 test or whatever, you know, whatever kind of all of a sudden shifted everybody yet again, because we know that the stock went through the roof after the Georgia game, and then he maintained that for a while because he didn't have any more football to play. And then all of a sudden it changed again. And now I think that the casual Texan fan, I think, would be pleased with C.J. Stroud. But I don't know that a lot of other people would be. I think they're going to feel slightly disappointed if it's C.J. Stroud. I personally would like to go Will Anderson.
I think the city would be thrilled if it was C.J. Stroud.
Because I think that they're not that in-depth in these draft things.
I think they want quarterback,
right?
C.J. Stroud's their favorite if it's not Bryce Young.
Right, and they've heard those two names synonymous with one another. So as long as they get one of those two names at that position, I think a lot of people would be pleased. I think the true football heads are going to be like, did they get the right guy? Because that's what's going to be the next question. If you go quarterback at two, and we said, you know, the other day, if you really are hell-bent on getting quarterback out of this draft, I think that in order to get one of the top four, you either got to stay where you are or move very, very subtly down. And I don't know that that's the smart move either. I really believe that, and, you know, we had to put our picks in. I really believe that the best case scenario for this team right now is to probably stay away from the quarterbacks if they have any doubts and just go Will Anderson, best available at 12. If you can get, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, great. If you can't, you can get a defensive line, another defensive lineman or someone that really helps the biggest overall need for this team, which is front seven,
yeah,
then go do it and figure out quarterback for a year where you're probably going to be picking or have the draft capital to pick high again, because I don't think that there's enough to convince the front office types in this front office that there's one guy that they know could make a difference for them.
Are you willing to double down on defensive end? Let's say they go Will Anderson at two. They're not in love with quarterbacks. Maybe they have a trade lined up for a veteran quarterback later on, maybe Friday. Would you be okay if they just, let's just throw out a name, Nolan Smith? If they went Will Anderson at two, Nolan Smith at 12, you cool with that?
I am.
I'm okay with that, too.
I am, because of who your head coach is, too.
Uh-huh.
Because that means he knows something or he saw something in both of these guys that he feels like he can work with. And there's a guy you trust. And you're going to have to trust. He's going to be here for the long haul. There's no reason not to trust him. If D'Amico goes, these are the two guys that can really help me almost immediately, that I can do some things with systematically with this defense, go get them.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that, too. Like, I'm a BPA guy by trade. Like, I really am. I believe in best player available. In my heart of hearts, I just don't know if the Texans are really there. I think that they're still going to be in play for a quarterback. Nick Caserio is very much a wild card on draft day. The Texans are incredibly tight-lipped. Like, no one has any clue what the Houston Texans are doing. Ian Rappaport, who is as close to the NFL as anybody, he flat out said, I have no idea what the Houston Texans are doing. That dude on Good Morning Football, the Schrager guy, he talked about it today. He's like, yeah, Nick Caserio is a complete wild card on draft day. I have no idea what the Houston Texans are doing. If they pull a rabbit out of their hat, it would not surprise me. Like, everything is on the table for Nick Caserio. I think there's multiple players that are in play at number two. I think there's three players in play. I think a trade down is in play for the Texans as well.
I do.
I think the three players are Will Anderson. Right now he's the betting favorite. Tyree Wilson, which scares the heck out of me because he has bad feet and he's a behemoth of a man. And I think Will Levis is the quarterback that's in play at number two. And the probability, if I was pie charting this right now with new information, I think I'm split between Will Anderson and Will Levis, and Tyree Wilson's like a wild card.
You know what's interesting, too? I was thinking about this. You know, Nick Caserio has a tendency to be enamored with a guy that maybe he thinks he's getting, you know, getting a special deal on or an inside edge on that's been hurt previously in their college career. Stingley was hurt. Stingley was a guy that, you know, everybody looked at and said, I don't know if you can look past the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nick thought he was catching everybody sleeping. He thought he was going to get the right guy. So he took Stingley over Sauce. Now you look at either Tyree Wilson and or Will Levis, who was dinged up as well, and he probably thinks, hey, there's a lot of people sleeping on Will Levis. There's a lot of people sleeping on Tyree Wilson thinking that Will Anderson's better. I'm looking at both of these guys. That wouldn't surprise me in the least either because of the fact that he took Stingley over Sauce when you knew Stingley was dinged up.
Yeah, it's weird to me, though. Like, that stuff is good. Like, I'm cool with looking for a player that you think you're gaining an edge
on. Bargain
on,
yeah.
But not with a top three pick.
Nope.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that you do in the third. Oh, okay, this guy didn't play his final year in college. Okay, this guy played very little snaps in college because of the situation, whatever the case may be. I'm cool with experiments. I'm cool with projects in day three, in the fourth and fifth round. Not with a top three pick. Not with a pick in the top half of the first round. Not with number 33 in the second round. Like, you need the projects to me make no sense, especially in a salary cap league, especially with the rookie contract. We get him for 4 years. Fifth-year player option if you really want. And Chase Young's the latest top pick that didn't get the fifth-year option picked up. Like, you have to consider that. When you're drafting a player, you're guaranteeing yourselves 4 years with that player. If it's a project that's going to take 3 years to figure out, you might get one good year out of him, then he bolts in free agency. So, like, I hate the idea of projects early in the NFL draft. I always point to the Braxton Miller project. When they drafted him, I believe it was in the third or fourth round.
Third round.
It's like, this guy wasn't even one of the best wide receivers at Ohio State. I understand he's a project that you think has a lot of skill and can turn into a good receiver, but you only have 4 years to figure it out. Like, those are the guys you draft fifth, sixth, seventh round, undrafted free agents. You don't use premium picks,
especially with your
that.
Head coach. Your head coach has been really good about finding diamonds in the rough later in drafts and making and turning them into starters and impactful players in this league. And Fred Werner was one of those guys that, you know, he just turned into an all-pro linebacker. Other guys that he's worked with that he's been able to do that with. I'm okay, like you said, late in the draft, letting DeMeco have full reign and power as to saying, hey, I really love the intangibles on this kid, or he's got something that I think I can work with. Super. But you don't take those risks in the first two or three picks because of how valuable they are to the worst roster in the league. You've got to add players that are almost starters from day one with those picks that you're going to make in the first and the second and the third round. And if you can't, and you're taking them on developmental players, then you're doing it wrong.
713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. What is your gut telling you with the Houston Texans due tonight at 2, at 12? Trade up, trade down. What's on the table for Nick Caserio? 713-780-3776. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Nick Caserio talking to some of the big national talking heads, talking about what he's looking for players in this first round. You brought up the idea of quarterback outside of 2. What are some of those veteran names that are on the table there? Is a Mac Jones trade realistic? Is a Trey Lance trade realistic? Is a quarterback at 12 realistic? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I'll tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Apollo doing it on a daily basis, getting you energy again, getting you feel right again, getting you to handle all those problems that you hadn't had when you were younger that you're dealing with on a daily basis. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, you're having problems that you never had before, but you don't know if there's any way to fix them. There really is, and all it takes is a visit to the good people at Apollo Men's Health. All you really got to do is go to apollomh.com, see all the services they offer, and see that there might be a couple that might be beneficial to you. If there are, make a first appointment right there online. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot on your first visit, or a free body composition analysis to get you the numbers that you need to know to see where you're trying to get to by setting goals for yourself. It's fantastic. They can help you in a variety of ways. You want to get on a workout program, or you want to recover quicker from workouts? They got things that solve those problems. You want to have more energy on a daily basis? You can start with that B12 shot like I get every week. See if it works for you and gives you a little more energy. You want something more significant? Try hormone therapy for both men and women. It gets you more energy on a day-to-day basis. You can go to the clinic weekly. You can learn how to administer it yourself at home. Or you can do cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy where you only have to go in every 6 months, but you get the energy on a daily basis. They have two locations to better serve you, both near downtown Houston. All it takes is you getting online and making that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. Tell them I sent you by. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texans pick two. They pick 12, will they? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What can go right? What can go wrong for the Texans tonight? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. LSU Brian, what's going on? You're in the Hive, LSU Brian.
What's up, guys? Man, I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd get to me this quick. I'm going through the car wash.
Can't tell. Can't tell. Yeah, we hear you just fine.
All right. So, my thoughts is I hope this, of course, if they get Bryce Young, that'd be the best case scenario. But other than that, other best case scenario, what do y'all think about taking the defensive end from Alabama at two? And somehow, if Jalen Carter can get to them at 12, that would be my perfect scenario. That would shore up your defensive line right there. So that's my thought.
Appreciate it, LSU Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
He definitely is who he said he is, right? You can tell the accent there a little bit. I love a good little Cajun accent.
How y'all are?
Ed, remember when Ed Orgeron took over the job at LSU and he had that thick Cajun accent? Yep. And somebody went up to him at his coach's show and he said, it's good to have a coach that doesn't have an accent anymore. Because he was right there in the heart of Cajun
Tigers.
Country.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
I love Ed O.
Go get single women and bring them to practice.
Will Anderson's the favorite right now to go number two. He's the betting favorite to go number two. If we're looking at like pipe dream scenario, I want Will Anderson at two, and I want a fallback of Will Levis to go number 12. To be complete, like pipe dream, this is like ultimate best case scenario for the Texans tonight. Anderson at two, Levis falls to you at 12. You get both players. Everybody very happy. Well, at least I'm very, very happy. Jalen Carter at 12 is interesting. And Nick Caserio said this. I forget which. I think it was Ed Warder, actually. Talked about what he's looking for at 2 and 12 in the first round of the NFL draft. And we know Nick Caserio is not going to tip his hand. But Caserio said this. He's looking for consistency, dependability, reliability, and is just doing the right thing for the team at every turn. I think that like everybody's still on the board except for two guys. I hear that. I eliminate Jalen Carter.
Yep.
Like if you hear consistency, dependability, reliability, doing the right thing for the team at every turn, how is Jalen Carter in that conversation? So I don't think he's on the table for the Texans, and I think he's going to go ahead at 12.
Joe's Bears supposedly aren't interested, but most drafts have Joe's Bears taking him at 9 if he falls that far.
Is he? Yeah, that's the other thing, if he gets to 9. So yeah. I don't even think he's going to be an option at 12. If he is an option at 12, I don't think that Jalen Carter will be a Houston Texan, and I feel really confident saying that. The other player that I think of whenever I hear that quote, consistency, dependability, reliability, This is all on the field stuff, nothing off the field. Anthony Richardson.
That's exactly
like the
what
guy's
I was thinking.
Not consistent. He's yep. not reliable to complete a pass. So like I hear that quote, everybody's still on the table with the exception of two guys, Jalen Carter, Anthony Richardson.
And I agree with you. I was trying to think about it as you were saying, like, who could the other guy be? And the only guy I kept thinking about was Richardson, but I also kept going back to that other quote Caserio had about an unnamed player that wanted to dip his coaches in the grease. And his players in the grease.
Yeah, and we don't know who that is.
And we don't know who it is.
Could be Levis.
But it's pretty easy to go back to a quote that Richardson had about, it's not my fault if my receivers don't catch it.
The argument that it's not Richardson, though, is that Caserio made it seem like it was a top 30 visit, and Richardson didn't come in for a top 30 visit. So there is a little bit of, like, vagueness to it.
I don't want them to
Richardson.
Take him. I hope that eliminates him from Texans consideration. I just don't want – I think he's 2 years away that we've discussed – I don't think he's the right guy for this job. I'm not sure he's the right guy for any job in this league. He can have all the letters in the world written to every general manager to convince everybody that he's going to work his tail off. Some things you either can or can't do. And I just don't want the Texans to take a flyer and that big of a risk to try and get a reward out of Anthony Richardson. So I hope they don't take him. Look, I've been on record as saying if Carter slides to you at 12, mm-hmm. if there's a way you can get him and you somehow end up with – at one point, the top two rated players in this whole draft, when we got closer to the combine and everything else, it was Jalen Carter, Will Anderson. If you could end up with Jalen Carter and Will Anderson and walk away, even though you didn't get a quarterback, I think every Texans fan should be extremely pleased.
You would have what many people consider the top two defensive players when we enter draft season. I've obviously said what I've had to say about Jalen Carter. I can't argue Jalen Carter's talents. I would still tell you that Jalen Carter, as a football player, is the best player in this draft, as a football player. And let me talk out of both sides of my mouth for a moment. If D'Amico Ryans is supposed to be a leader of men and this character coach and brings the best out of everybody, earn your money. Earn your money with a Jalen Carter 12.
But also earn your money, Nick Caserio. Trust your head coach. If your head coach has sat down and talked to Jalen Carter, and he's had enough interactions where he tells you either I can or I can reach this guy, if he tells you he can reach him, and you hired him as your head coach, then you damn well sure better believe in him and say, okay, if you can reach him, let's go get him. Because where we had him on our board before all this stuff came out was top of the charts.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line for Andrew. Andrew, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Drew?
Hey, how's it going, Dent? Hey, so I really think just after everything I've all heard you guys talk about for weeks on end now and all the other shows, I really think they're going to end up going defense, offensive line, defense in their first three picks or some variant of that. And with it, and I'll hang up after this comment and listen. And in a classic Nick Caserio curveball, Stetson Bennett in a late round. I'll hang up and listen.
There's a lot of people that are really enthralled with
Stetson Bennett. That's the project that I'm talking about, though. Like, Stetson Bennett is a project gamble. Cool. Fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Yeah, he's a gamble is right. Yeah, cool. And a lot of people have said, look, with his smarts and his moxie alone.
And his ability to drink you under the table.
But he could be a backup quarterback in this league for a long time with spot starts. And so if that's a guy that you think you might be able to develop a little bit and you get him late in the draft, I'm fine with that. But I'm not fine with offensive line with one of my top two or three picks because they've already spent enough and done enough with the offensive line to where, and especially using a first-round pick on a guard a year ago, I don't want them taking another offensive lineman high.
Lance had a rough morning today.
They need a center.
I think I agree with Lance that, like, and he pointed out that, like, they haven't renegotiated or negotiated a new contract with Shaq Mason.
He said that he also forgot that they traded for Shaq Mason.
Oh, that's funny. but, you know, like, the, you know, you have Shaq Mason. Like, his deal is winding down. You did just pay Laremy Tunsil. Like, are you also going to pay Titus Howard? So, like, while, like, this player is likely not playing this year, if it's, like, Peter Skoronski.
Yeah.
It's – I get the long-term view, but it just seems like a waste when you had to, at the moment, have that position filled.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Now, I think that there's –
that would be the most stunning thing to me is offensive line at 12.
Because, yeah, I mean, outside of, like, something stupid that's not realistic – I would consider offensive line completely off the table.
Agreed.
Number 12. That would be, to me, the most shocking thing that the Texans would do at 12. Like, obviously, they would go tight end before offensive line at 12,
sure.
In my opinion. Like a Michael Mayer at 12.
Yes.
Like, how about safety? How about Brian Branch? Would you go Brian Branch? Skoronski is the more surprising pick at 12.
Are you?
I guess Branch, because I don't think he's really viewed in that category
anymore.
Yeah,
he's more
anymore.
Of like a nickel, like star.
Like he's like,
corner.
No, I meant more like he's a back end of the first guy.
Oh,
People
yeah.
are mocking him 25 to 31 if they still have him going in the first. That feels like a huge reach.
Corner or Skoronski? Like whether it's Gonzalez, whether it's one of these corners that fall, the Witherspoon kid from Illinois. Corner or guard more shocking?
Guard. I don't think corner would be shocking.
You. Yeah, I'm with you.
I get the reason why you take a corner. In today's NFL, you play in the AFC with – when you go to the top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL, 10 of them are in the AFC, if not 11.
Also, it's like
I get two corners.
It's reverse engineering the pass rush, too. Like, we know how important it is to get to the quarterback, right? Like, it is important to pressure the quarterback in the NFL. The easiest way to pressure the cornerback in the NFL is to have really good edge rushers that get to the quarterback or really good interior defensive linemen that can create pressure through the middle. That's the easiest way to do it. But if you feel like you don't have the possibility of getting those edge rushers or more than one because you're probably going one at number two, then you go corners and give the defensive line more time to get to the cornerback. So it's kind of reverse engineering pressures. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
You guys really think they would go safety after they went – safety last year.
No. We're saying what would be more shocking, safety, corner, guard? Like what would be the most shocking position at 12?
I think guard completely because of the fact that what they did a year ago and the fact that they've spent so much money and committed so many you know, committed to so many guys offensively on the line already.
Mm. Yeah. Guard or safety. I think I like Joe's point too. Like, there's not really a safety that's in that vicinity. Where Skoronski falling to 12 would be kind of a steal.
And isn't Brian Branch Jimmy Ward? Like, you paid him for
a reason.
I was going to
say, you got Ward Jr., and you've got a young safety that you drafted a year ago. Yeah.
You could say the same thing about Shaq Mason, though. Like, long-term play, you don't think Ward's going to be here forever. Shaq Mason might not be here forever. Like, it's the same vein, same conversation.
But if you look at the top, if you go into the offseason, and really your two biggest moves, two of them were Jimmy Ward and Shaq Mason, and then you just draft those positions – if you take them at 212 or 33, I would be stunned.
I do too. I'm with you. 713-780-ESPN. What do you want the Texans to do? What can go wrong? 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, it's a free-for-all today. It's draft day. You can tell us any of your draft thoughts, concerns, wishes, desires, what would make you happy, what would make you unhappy. 713-780-ESPN. The one certainty, though, is that you need to be at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage with us tonight. Will House is out in Kansas City. They're going to be there live, feet on the ground. But we want you to join us tonight. Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Southwest Freeway, Greenway Plaza location, 6 to 11 for our 2023 NFL Draft Show. Valencia is extending their happy hour food prices through the end of the night just for us, just for you. When you arrive, stop by our promo table and enter our draft contest. We'll be giving away three $50 gift cards to Valencia's, so that's awesome. If you get both Texans picks correct, you'll be entered into a raffle for a 75-inch TV courtesy of Audio Visual Consultations. The Will House will kick off our extended draft coverage at 3 from KC. All of our coverage is brought to you by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. Real quick, Joe George, whenever I look at this, I'm seeing that if you get both of the Texans picks correct,
yes,
you will be entered to win the raffle for a 75-inch TV.
Yes.
What if the Texans trade up for an additional third rounder or trade down?
We are going to only do two picks.
Okay.
When you sign up, there's going to be a line where you write the player's name, or you can just circle trade. So if you think they're going to trade the 12th pick, you just circle trade. You then do not have to also put a player.
Awesome.
So it's what they're going to do exactly with the 2nd and 12th pick.
Awesome.
So if you think they're going to trade both, you just do 12.
Is there a trade up or trade down option?
Just trade.
Okay.
Just trade.
All right. So if we have multiple people that win the contest, now it becomes a raffle.
It becomes a raffle.
We have 24 people that have the Texans going Anderson and Levis. Yep.
Once you submit your picks, that's how you enter for the gift card raffle as well.
Oh, so only one-stop shop.
Yeah, one-stop shop.
Once you're in, you're in. Why would you want to be anywhere else? Chance to win tons of food from Valencia's, happy hour specials, great food, great drinks, and a chance to win a 75-inch TV. You got to be there tonight.
And they made sure they got extra Coors Light for Granato.
That's great. I hope I hope most of them come after 9 o'clock.
I'm stopping in and putting a large order
Coors Light
of fajitas
from 7 to 9?
In case he can drink on some. Joe's tab, and then I'm leaving.
Okay.
Well, I don't have much of a tab right now.
Yes, you do.
You are
whether you know it or not. Yes,
I'm getting
you
my car worked on right now. It's getting
doesn't matter. The tab is still in your name.
I hate getting my car worked on because they always call you and you're like, yeah, you need this, this, this. Then they just start dropping how much it's going to cost. I'm like, cars are the worst. It's just the worst. I went in for an oil change. They're like, oh, you got to do these five things.
Drive until the tires fall off. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Rabbit from Weenie. You're in the hive of the Killer Bees. Rabbit, what's up?
Hey, what's up, gang? How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
That's good. Yeah, I agree to Anderson. You can't go wrong with Anderson. But I heard a previous caller speaking about the offensive lineman. Yes, you know, I know eventually you're going to need a quarterback. But before you get a quarterback, you have to protect it. So I will get the offensive line, quarterback, and find me a receiver. That's my intake.
Appreciate it, Rabbit.
I mean, we kind of covered why not go offensive line, because you already have invested a boatload in offensive line. I could see them going center at some point.
Because I think they can go center as early as the first pick of the
second round.
But that's as early as I see that. And then there's not really a center that's, I think, worthy of going in the first round. See, Texas Red, you know, in the similar vein as Rabbit, and thanks for listening to the Killer Bees, he said, why would you take a quarterback at 2 if you don't finish building a good line? I think the Texans' offensive line is capable. I really do. And I think with some good coaching, it should be on the better half of the league.
I think top half of the league right now. I think they need a center for sure, or they need to address it. That doesn't necessarily have to be in the draft. But I think what they have is better than a lot of teams in this league. They've got veterans. They've got established players. They've got the highest paid left tackle in the game. And I believe that they have enough to say they have a top half of the league offensive line already.
I think at worst. Like, you draft John Michael Schmitz, the center from Minnesota.
Jingleheimer.
That's why I keep trying to say his name correct. You take him at 33. He had the best Senior Bowl performance. Like, everyone thinks he's the best center in this draft. Even if you trade back up into the first and get him, I think that'd be great to get the fifth-year option. Like, it gives you a young center. I would have preferred a veteran. Like, we talked about that a lot during free agency. Like, they should have gone the veteran route at center. They didn't do it. But, like, you get an established center. You have your left and right tackle locked in, your left guard, your right guard. Kenyon Green just plays above-average football.
Yeah.
Like, I think you might have a top 10 offensive line.
You have three first-rounders there. If you go your route, a second-rounder. Or actually, you'd be four first-rounders because you would have them trading back up, like, two spots to get in the first round and take center.
So, like, you have – I mean, and we talk about the protecting a quarterback, you know – Trevor Lawrence didn't have that. Justin Fields didn't have that. Joe Burrow didn't have that.
He also got his knee torn up.
Joe Burrow really didn't.
Like, you had all those quarterbacks had bad offensive line. You're setting your quarterback up for more success than any rookie, probably since Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, even if you want to play it like the local angle, what was Deshaun Watson's offensive line look like before they traded for Laremy Tunsil? And then they had to trade way too much for Laremy Tunsil. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out there for Isaiah. Isaiah, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Isaiah?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, look, man, every time I call in, I talk about the Hogs and the Dogs. This time, I'm sorry, I'm, you know, Hog Nation, but no. Luxury picks, let's use it on luxury players at the moment. Offensive line, like you guys said, man, above average, I'll take it. Kenyon Green has to grow. We know how that comes with a rookie, you know. College players coming into a grown man's league. He just has to get stronger. And, of course, the other guys, you know, they're viable guys. Go get a veteran center, but we can't. We didn't take that route, so get one in the draft. But this one, I mean, Will Anderson's not a bad pick, but I'm just at the point, if you're going to get the guy that you want, get the guy that you want. At two, right now, 12, looking like it may be traded, maybe. But barring any trade or anything like that, get the guys that you want. But if they don't get a quarterback in the draft, it's going to spike up. Talks about Mac Jones and Trey Lance all over again. So that's going to somewhat give that, you know, impression in a sense. But I'll sit back and listen to you guys.
Appreciate it, Zach. Thanks for calling in. Look, I mean, I don't think it's a luxury pick because I don't think that they're in a position of strength, because luxury picks to me are the Eagles picking in the top 15 or whatever, you know, or the Lions having the year they had, but making savvy trades and having two first-round picks. You look at, you know, the we talked about, the luxury pick would be the ability for the Eagles or the Bills to take a running back because they're so stacked everywhere that they can afford to take a flyer and take a guy a little earlier than he might have otherwise be predicted to have gone, because he's the exact perfect pick for you and you don't have that many holes to fill. Texans have so many holes to fill. It's not a luxury pick. That's why everybody's scrutinizing it so much, because you really can't afford to get it wrong. And that's why quarterback is so dangerous, because so many of these quarterbacks have so many question marks. Whereas Will Anderson, he might not be a bona fide star, but you're pretty sure he's going to be a really good player in the NFL.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've been hearing a lot of chatter about, like, how about Bijan Robinson at two? Like, people are making the case for Bijan Robinson at two, which I'm out on that. Like, I'm out on Bijan Robinson at 12. I don't think Bijan Robinson gets to 12. Like, I just don't really understand the roster build if you're going that route. Like, you're getting a really good football player. I get it. I get that you're getting a weapon. Totally understand. But what are the Texans in those 4 years? Like, they're trying to eventually be a playoff team at some point. First 2 years of Bijan Robinson, you're not a playoff team. Second 2 years, you might be a playoff team. And now you're looking at having to extend Bijan Robinson and paying a running back his second contract. From a, like, big picture point of view, I do not understand the logic of Bijan Robinson at all.
Especially when you have a guy like Pierce that you got in the fourth round that was your best offensive player a year ago. I know Bijan Robinson's a good talent. He's a special talent. A lot of people think that way, right? But I don't think that you take a guy and double up on what you already have at least one good player at, when you have so many holes to fill in other positional groups across the roster. I honestly think not the hot take right now, or the most prevalent idea, is that Bijan doesn't get by Atlanta at eight. If Bijan goes to Atlanta at 8, that's a really smart pick for them because their running back room is wide open and because they've spent a lot of draft capital on offensive players.
Now, I mean, Algier ran for 1,000 yards last year. Like, Algier and Damian Pierce aren't that different.
But they don't have as many needs like the Texans do either. They've been consistently up in the top part of the draft to where they've added a lot of quality football players, added a really good pass-catching tight end. They've used draft capital on receiver. They did it again last year with Drake London. They've spent a lot of draft capital to upgrade other elements of their football team to where if they took Bijan Robinson at 8, now you either figure out what Desmond Ridder is or you're a quarterback away from being able to take another very big step because of all the other guys you've added.
Still Curtin says, when is having somebody like a Deebo Samuel or a massive offensive threat not a benefit? Look, Bijan Robinson is a benefit. No one's saying that it's not a benefit. I would also argue that Bijan's not Deebo. Like, Bijan will be a really good running back in the NFL. I think he's going to be really, really good. He's not going to run routes like Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel's one of the best receivers in the NFL. Right. Plus, he has the ability to be able every now and then to run the football out of the backfield. Like, Bijan Robinson's going to be a really good pass-catching back. He's not going to be a wide receiver.
No, but even though he can catch, exactly. He can catch the ball. He's a weapon out of the backfield. But he's definitely not going to be split out wide. And the other thing is, just like we said this with like Joe Burrow, or we said this with other players in this draft, Bijan Robinson, the worst thing that could happen to Bijan Robinson is go to the wrong football team with a bad offensive line. Because now, no matter what you spent on draft capital or how good you think he can be, you could absolutely curtail his entire career if you put him in the wrong system and you put him behind a bad offensive line. So that's what you got to watch too, because of the fact that where all these guys go is important. We just got done talking about the Texans having an upper half of the NFL off-type offensive line. That's why that's why Pierce had success. That's why a Bijan Robinson, if you would go that route, which I don't encourage them to do and I don't think they will, but I think he could have success here. You put him in behind, like if he went to Tampa right now behind a bad offensive line, you could screw up his whole career.
Yeah. I mean, you probably use him in a different way. Like, you're probably not running him between the tackles. You're probably trying to get him out in space, throw the football to him.
But then you take a whole bunch of heat. Like, you just drafted this guy high. Why aren't you using him more?
Yeah, it's got to make sense. I don't believe in drafting a running back in the first round, period, unless I'm a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl. Like, I'm trying to contend for a Super Bowl. Like, the Eagles, it makes sense. I would even say for, like, Detroit, it makes some sense because you have a team that could be elevated to Super Bowl contender. Whenever I'm going to win 3-4 games and I've won 11 games in 3 years, I'm not drafting running back in the first round. Running back in the first round is a luxury. It is an absolute luxury, not a necessity.
Yeah, just a small thing. I'd push back on Detroit because they paid David Montgomery a bunch of money.
But do you believe in David Montgomery? I don't.
You paid him for a reason, right?
I just don't really trust David Montgomery.
Short term. I think you paid him
for 3 years. Like,
how much, though? What's the AAV?
I think it's like $6 million, so it's not much.
Yeah, and I think he's supposed to be the Jamal Williams power back, get the touchdown from the one type of guy.
I think it's so interesting about Bijan because like Daniel Jeremiah keeps saying because he worked with the Eagles that they're not going to take Bijan. If the Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl, like have one of the best front offices, and they're telling you we're not going to take Bijan at 10, then probably no one should.
It could be a smokescreen, though. It could be we don't want somebody picking him at 8, and then he's there at 10, we run to the podium and pick him.
Like, and even then, just because you're good, I mean,
right now.
Think back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like when he was drafted out of
Luis
LSU,
Riddick said he's going to win an MVP in his rookie year.
Yeah, he's a disaster. Mm-hmm. He is a wasted draft pick by the Kansas City Chiefs. And like it doesn't mean that, you know, Bijan and Gibbs will be, but there's just too much value elsewhere. And Damian Pierce is too good.
I agree. See, that's the thing I'm saying too. But again, the main thing here is you have the worst roster in the NFL. It's not even arguable.
If it pushes you over the top, I get it.
So why are we doubling down on a position where you have Damian Pierce? He was your best offensive player. He might have been the best player on your team last year.
It's the one position I don't think you need.
I agree with you guys, but let me nitpick this a little bit. If Damian Pierce is your best offensive player, you're not a good football team.
Well, I just said that. But that means that you have so many holes to fill by getting good quality football players, you can't afford to get a second quality football player at the same position.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Daniel Jeremiah in his latest mock draft has the Texans trading up to 3. Quite the load to trade up to number 3. Would you do this? Also, would you rather trade down from 2 or up from 12? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Turn down for what?
Race
razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Screech says the Texans will take Wilson over Anderson, and Anderson will easily be the Rookie of the Year, and Wilson will stay injured. So it's 2022.
Yeah, that's not
good. With Sauce and Stingley.
Yeah, that's why I said that's not good.
It's reliving 2022. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Blankers, I'm going to ask you one of my questions, one of my patented questions. Would you rather trade down from 2 or up from 12?
I'm going to go down from 2. Okay. I'm going to trade down from 2. I'm going to get, again, because I'm going to stay on my point from the last segment. It's such a bad roster. It needs so much improvement that I don't think that you're in a position, and we talked about position of strength, luxury picks. None of that is where the Texans currently sit. You have to try and add as many assets as you can. You can't be giving up assets to get one extra player or the extra player, except for maybe quarterback, but I don't like it because I think you'd have to give up too much. So I would say I'd rather trade down and add picks that I would give up picks to move up from 12.
Where do you stand on this, Joe George? Down from 12, or down from 2, up from 12. You had to pick one.
Up from 12.
Okay. Because now you're getting defensive end, maybe
because
quarterback.
I think Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, the idea of taking Will Anderson at 2 and trading up to 3 and getting whatever quarterback you want, I know it's a big move. I know it's going to cost a lot. I don't care. Like, your room's split 50-50? Mm-hmm. Fine. The room's not split 50-50 anymore. Get both of them.
I think Daniel Jeremiah's proposal on his latest mock draft, and if you've missed this, he has the Houston Texans, I forget what order, taking C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, getting both quarterback and defensive end at 2 and 3. I think his proposal is stupid. I think it is flat out stupid. The proposal that he has, that the Texans trade up to number 3 because they want both. They want quarterback and defensive end. Room is split. So if you're in, so somebody's telling you, you better take quarterback. So if we're living in this world for a second, that means you're taking quarterback at 2. You're taking quarterback at 2. You're trading up for Will Anderson. That means that you're trading 12. This is the proposal. Pick 12, pick 33, 73, which is a third rounder, and a 2024 third rounder for number 3. For the third pick to take Will Anderson. So basically what you're telling me, Blankers and Joe George, is that you're willing to give up Nolan Smith, you're willing to give up the center from Minnesota, and you're willing to give up Tank Dell for Will Anderson. What would you rather have? Scenario A, Will Anderson. Scenario B, Nolan Smith, center from Minnesota, Tank Dell. Tell me.
B, and it ain't even close because I keep saying how bad this roster is. If the roster is as bad as we all think it is, that I keep saying it is, then I want as many good football players as I can. And I just got done saying, this is why the only scenario for me is to trade down, because you add more assets. You add the chance to add more starting football players on your squad. I can't see a scenario where you're giving up just to get two players when this roster is completely dilapidated full of good players.
That's why I think the Daniel Jeremiah proposal is flat out stupid. I'm not trading Nolan Smith, Schmitz, and Tank Dell for Will Anderson. I'm just not. And I understand that I'm taking a little bit of a lesser defensive end with Nolan Smith. But I'd rather have Smith, the center, and Tank Dell over Will Anderson. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I'm of the belief, too, that I'd rather trade down from 2. And the reason that I'd rather trade down from 2 is because I'm kind of feeling right now in my plums that the pick is going to be defensive end. I feel like the pick's going to be, right now, Will Anderson's the betting favorite. Wouldn't stun me if they go Tyree Wilson. And if it's Tyree Wilson and you're picking at 2 when the Titans are reportedly trying to trade to 3, when the Colts are in love with a quarterback at 4, you can't take Tyree Wilson at 2. If you have everybody trying to get to 3, Colts taking quarterback at 4, you need to be trading down. I don't care if it's with the Colts. I don't care if it's with the Titans. If you have Tyree Wilson or a curveball at the top of this draft, you need to collect extra draft capital to have a security blanket in case the dude stinks.
No, that's exactly my point. Like, you need to be doing everything in your power to add as many quality football players as you can. And just like I said, that's why if you're not sold on one of the quarterbacks, every one of these picks is so important to get something out of and to have them be around for the long haul that you can't afford to take a flyer on a guy that you're not 100% sold on. You know, I've been preaching this since day one when we started talking about the draft. If you're not in your gut and your heart of hearts sold on one of these quarterbacks, then don't take them. take every other position that you need. Take best, as you always say, take best player available and every chance you get a chance to pick. Mm-hmm. If someone is interested in taking your pick from you and giving you more, you entertain every one of those discussions to see if you can't add even more picks, to add more starters, to add more quality players. And in a year from now, you're probably going to be in a similar position. You have more picks to work with if you want to move up,
yeah.
But you don't have to do too much too soon.
While I want to add extra draft capital, especially if it's the Tyree Wilson route, the Texans already have 12 picks. So, like, if you're adding draft capital, I want Nick Caserio to be active in the middle rounds trading up for his guys. Like, Will and Dylan, Nick Caserio, Woo. Like, he has 12 picks. I don't think the Texans are going to take 12, like, rookies to the 53-man roster
no
next
way.
Year. So, like, even though I'm pro trade down, maybe collect future draft capital 2024, I want to see him package together picks in this draft to move up 10 spots, to move up 8 spots, to draft your John Mechie, to draft your Christian Harris. Like, I want him to aggressively attack players that he likes in the middle rounds if we're playing the trade-down game. Frankly, I want it anyways because he has 12 picks.
I think they're going to. Speaking of, we did not mention this yesterday. Okay. Mechie was cleared.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear
so,
that.
So, yeah, Mechie has been cleared. So that's huge for the Texans this offseason and for the team going forward. But I think you're going to see him move up a lot.
We mentioned it kind of, because I was talking
maybe we did.
We mentioned it from like a fantasy football perspective.
That's right.
Like John Mechie's being 20th, like a 20th round pick slash undrafted, and the dude is a second round pick a year ago, whereas you have current second round picks that are right now being drafted in like the 14th, 15th round. Like Mechie's tremendous value in fantasy.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see
49 catches.
Let's go.
We did the over-under yesterday.
That's right.
What are we, 4.5
we did,
trades?
I think the caller said, over-under trades. 4 trades, I think, is a good number.
So 4 trades?
Over, under 4 trades under. For Caserio. 713-780-ESPN. I'm going to go over.
I think it's over, and I think it starts tonight.
Especially if he's making a trade tonight. He's easily going to make at least three trades in rounds 2 through 7. He's got 12 picks.
Isn't it plausible he makes 2 tonight?
Plausible, yeah.
Couldn't you see him trading back into the first?
I could see him trading.
Also moving 2 or 12?
Well, did you see Adam Schefter's tweet yesterday? Mm-mm. The Texans are exploring the idea of trading up and trading down. Thanks, Schefter. Really appreciate the analysis there.
Mind blown.
Yeah,
wow.
Just great work that you did there, Adam Schefter. I could see him trading from 2 to 4, take Tyree Wilson. Colts ensure that they draft Will Levis. I could see him going up from 12, down from 12, and I could see a trade back into the first round. There's 3 potential trades right there, day one, before you even get to Friday. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line for Justin. Justin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Y'all just hit on a couple of my points, but I mean, I was looking at our draft, and we're 6-round heavy. We got 4 6-round picks. I get the thought of trading back and acquiring capital and whatnot, but at some point, you got to start adding these players. You know, we're saying we're talent deficient. We got to get the players we want. Daniel Jeremiah, like back up to 3. Yeah, that's extra as hell. It's kind of ridiculous, but you know, as far as over under on 4, I'm with you. I'm over 4. I think we're going to move up a lot because they're not going to – like they said this last year going into the draft, that they're not planning on walking into a new season with 12 rookies. Or I think it was 10 was the actual number that they mentioned. But they're not going into a new season with 10 rookies. And we're sitting at 12. We're thinking about trading back. Like at some point, you got to add the guys you want. So yeah. That's my thought on it.
Appreciate it, Justin. And I think that both things can be true. Like if they're hell-bent on Tyree Wilson – you better be trading with the Colts. You better trade with the Colts, flip 2 and 4, I don't even care if it's a third rounder. Add something, flip 2 and 4. Yeah, you're giving the Colts their guy, but you're willing to pass on that guy, so you must not think he's very good. Right. You take Tyree Wilson at 4, you add extra draft capital. Now, I do need the Texans to be trading up for players that they really like in the middle rounds, whether, like, I love Tank Dell, go Cougs, because I'm a homer, but there's other players in the middle rounds that I, like the Spears kid from Tulane. I think the Spears kid from Tulane might be better than A-Chain from A&M. Now, it's not a popular name because we know A-Chain grew up in Houston, Fort Bend Marshall, shout out them, Giggum, Aggies, went to Texas A&M. If they draft Spears with their first pick of the 4th round, or you're trading a couple of picks to package up late 3rd round to go Spears, I want to see the Texans be aggressive in that way.
Yeah, no, look, I like to see them aggressive when they have their eye on a guy, but it's the same thing that I've said all along about their quarterback. Throughout all these picks, have guys earmarked that are perfect for your football team. You just got done talking about culture, work ethic, the you know, all the different skill sets that Nick is looking for to add to this football team. If there's guys like that, and then a D'Amico Ryan says these are the kind of guys I can really develop and see something in that I can make something of, well, then you make sure you go get those guys. And if there's a chance to move up or move around to get them, then that's what you have to do. We know he's done it with late round picks, but he hasn't been successful, and he's basically thrown them away. Now's not the time to be throwing away picks. You've got to make every pick useful and get something out of it. If you can, you make your roster better, which you have to do, and you can't be taking flyers with as bad of a roster as this team is with as many draft picks as you have.
713-780-ESPN. Every ESPN 97.5 personality predicted who's going to go 2, who's going to go 12. Let's take a look at those predictions. Let's play the quarterback game, too. The trends right now are telling us that it's going to be defense. Number 2, trade down, whatever. What is the plan for the quarterback for the Houston Texans? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.